7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we are going to be doing the 2017 Fantasy Football Busts of the Year. And we're each going to give you a couple that we think are going to have a very down year from their draft position and where they finished last year to where they're going to finish this year. But before we get to that, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. Hit us up on our website, ponycakesports.com. Email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. Also check out our buddy's website, CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles on baseball, football, basketball, and wrestling. It's good stuff. Check it out.
My bust of the year already, Josh, will just come right out and start us off strong, is those bros over at Tire Wire. They are the biggest bust of the year, and we are going to destroy them and everything fantasy football in 2017.
We are going to be taking part, I did tell you this, in the Pro-Am League that we are now officially a part of.
Is this a fantasy football thing or is this a golf tournament? Who the fuck names a fantasy football thing a pro-am?
It's a pro and then amateurs. It's like listeners.
I get what it is. I understand.
Just stating.
I get it.
Okay.
Can't think of a better name than just pro-am.
You sure you get it, Tim?
I get it.
You're putting one and one together?
I'm putting two and two together.
All right. So let's go ahead and kick it off. Who wants to start off their number one bust of the year? Tom? Tim?
Tim, I thought you had a great way to open the show.
No, I didn't really. I was just like telling you guys that, so then you think I'm coming strong. But I didn't prepare at all, so I'm just going to name random players today.
God. Tim, you can go first.
One of us didn't prepare for today's show, but I won't say who that is.
I was golfing all day.
It wasn't Tom, if you're wondering. It wasn't Tom. All right, let's start at the quarterback position. My biggest bust, and it's funny because when you think of this player, you don't ever think of him as, you know, someone you necessarily want on your team. You definitely don't like him personally or what he brings. But fantasy football relevant-wise, he's always been strong. With the addition of one Leonard Fournette, the fantasy numbers of Blake Bortles, I believe, are going to drop drastically. And I think people who just look at him for his numbers over the last year, and even if they look a year prior, so the amateurs, if you would, are still going to draft the Blake Bortles higher than he deserves. I believe he should go undrafted this year. Blake Bortles will be a bust.
Well, he's going as a 23rd quarterback drafted. So
way to go on a limb there, Tim.
Well, I have my other one, and I know, Tom, you saw this prior to the show. Josh wasn't here. He was golfing because that's more important than our show. Drew Brees. Mm. Drew Brees is my other bust of the year at the quarterback position.
But they have Ted Ginn Jr.
Yes.
Your boy.
They have the new, improved Brandon freaking Cooks.
All right. Now you're just putting words in my mouth.
That's what you said.
Ted Ginn Jr. is the best speedster wide receiver there is.
Ever.
I said he was going to fill the Brandon Cooks role.
Ted Ginn Jr., Brandon Cooks, equal level. Same player. Different names.
That I agree with. Moving on. Drew Brees, I don't see. At some point, he's going to hit that wall that all quarterbacks inevitably do. The arm strength just not going to be there. I feel like with what they've added at the running back position, they might try to take some of that pressure that's been on Drew Brees, try to eliminate those 60-attempt games, you know, passing. He's still going to be an elite-level quarterback, but I just feel like that the Saints might try to mix things up a little bit and change their offensive game plan so his numbers aren't as high as they have been over the last, you know, 5 to 6 seasons.
Tim, I hate your first two bust picks. Blake Bortles shouldn't even be on our show. Most people aren't drafting him in fantasy leagues. And Drew Brees, I'm not worried about him. I think he's one of the most consistent quarterbacks, one of the most consistent fantasy players in fantasy football. Not too worried about his age. Still like that's the system in New Orleans. And they got the best speedster ever, Ted Ginn. So I don't know why you're too worried about him. My first bust, though, it's a running back. Finished fourth last year in scoring, in PPR. Over 1,267 yards rushing. 13 rushing touchdowns, had 50 receptions, 356 receiving yards. It's one LeSean McCoy. He's being drafted 7th overall in the first round. It's hard to hate on Shady McCoy, but trying to go out there right now. You know, the last two seasons, there's been over 10 guys bust in the first 24 overall picks. So there's going to be guys in the first two rounds that are being drafted right now that are going to bust. I think McCoy could be one of them. You know, he's getting up there in age. He's 29 years old, getting close to that cliff, that 30-year-old cliff where running backs tend to just fall off and don't look the same. Last year, it looked like he didn't lose a step, but I have a feeling he's going to get injured this year. The workload, he's been getting used quite often the last few years in Buffalo. They like to run the football a lot. He's had amazing blocking there in Buffalo. I think it's going to fall this year, and I don't think he's going to be worth that first-round pick. And I think if you take him in the middle of the first round, you're going to be struggling this season.
I don't hate it. I was actually down on Shady McCoy last year. He obviously proved me wrong. So I'm not gonna jump all over him like I did last year. You obviously feel very strong about it without having Mike Gillisley there to kind of take some of the pressure off. You know, obviously he still had a fantastic year, but I do think that Gillisley's presence did help McCoy quite a bit. Now, anytime McCoy's on the field, you're gonna have to think that he's gonna be getting the ball, right? So I actually kind of agree with your comment, Tom. See, that's how you don't be a dick to your fellow co-host. That's how I want to. Let's go behind the curtain here. Let's let everyone in the peek behind the curtain. We all talk about this prior to the show. Okay, who are you gonna do? Who are you gonna do? Okay, that sounds great. Okay, everything's great. Okay, we get on the show. Well, fuck you, Tim. That's how this show goes now. Real nice, guys.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Tim, I'm keeping it 100.
Please no.
All right, I'm going to do my first one, and it's going to be quite a bit of a shocker for you guys, I think. Are you ready for it? Bust right here. Being taken as the number 14 running back, Christian McCaffrey. He's getting picked very, very high as your possible running back one, and definitely a running back two. And being a 14th running back with Jonathan Stewart still on the team, doesn't matter if Jonathan Stewart is 1 year older. He signed another contract for another year. He is still there on the team. He's still going to get carries. He will be the goal line back. They also drafted, now I'm drawing a blank. Who else did they draft? The other kid out of Ohio State.
Oh, D'Angelo Williams.
No, Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel. He is a, God, I hate you so
oh
much.
Oh, my God.
They drafted Curtis Samuel. He will probably be more of your primarily outside as a wide receiver, maybe still lining up in the backfield, kind of like a Cordell Patterson-type role in a sense, but obviously a lot smaller than him. But I do believe Christian McCaffrey is a very good PPR threat, but I just, being drafted as the 14th overall running back in the basically late third, early fourth round, I think that is way too high for him, and I would definitely pass on him. I know you guys are a lot higher on him than I am, but if he was a little bit later on in a redraft league, I would definitely consider it in, you know, fifth, sixth round, but just way too high for me for the 14th ranked running back coming off the board.
Josh, I agree with you. I have been on that Christian McCaffrey bandwagon. I think he's got a real chance, in my opinion, to catch over 60 balls this year. I've pegged him at that 70 mark. It might be a little high, but I think they're going to use him in that capacity quite a bit. But there's a legit chance that he's pretty much a Theo Riddick-type player, where he's not used much in the rushing game. He ends up somewhere. Theo Riddick finished 25th last year as a running back in PPR. It's not terrible. It's a guy you could start on most occasions, and that might be Christian McCaffrey's role. Jonathan Stewart is going to get those goal line touches. They're still going to use him. They didn't let him go. And everything we're hearing from camp and the beat writers is that Stewart is still going to get his touches. So you have to be worried. People taking McCaffrey in the third round might be reaching a little bit on him.
Well, let's pump the brakes here for a second on the Theo Riddick and Christian McCaffrey comparison. I think that is an absolutely outrageous statement. That sounds like something stupid that I would say, Tom. So shame on you, young man. But let's The thing with Christian McCaffrey is, especially if you're in a dynasty league or a keepers league of any point, that's where I see the true value in a Christian McCaffrey. He is being overdrafted. I can't see the bust potential. I don't disagree with anything that you said. The main thing with Jonathan Stewart is, how long is he going to stay healthy this year? And how long is he going to keep doing this for? Because that's where I see the big-time value in one Christian McCaffrey. He is far too good. You guys keep building up how great he's going to be, or I should say Tom, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield. Let's not forget how great he was running between the tackles at Stanford at times, because he was very, very effective at that. That's where I feel like he's not even anywhere near on the same level of the guys that you are comparing him to, because he is a true running back. He can catch the ball as well, but he's a true running back. So he does have the potential to be a bust this year just because of how high teams are drafting him. But down the road, I do see him being an effective running back for the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely agree with you. In a rookie draft or, you know, whatever, rookie draft, he should be one of your top three guys. Or you could consider him top four guys with Fournette, Mixon, McCaffrey, and Corey Davis. He's definitely in the top four, definitely. But in a redraft league, being the 14th running back off the board, way too early if it is not a keeper or a dynasty league. If it's not a keeper or dynasty league, straight redraft, I think you're reaching too high. I would rather draft a Frank Gore later on. He's coming off the board at 24. I know Tom would rather have an Eddie Lacy. I would rather have Joe Mixon. I'd rather probably have Ty Montgomery. Isaiah Crowell at 16, coming off two picks later.
I love that.
So that's just me. There's a lot of other running backs that I would personally rather have. I could see Christian McCaffrey easily finishing outside the top 24, which would make him a running back three.
This year in particular, everyone is going to have to do their homework on the backup running backs, on the handcuffs. And you should be doing that every year. But it seems like there's a solid 10 to 12 teams this year that the running back scenario could change by week like six. That's why it's going to be very interesting.
All right. Next up, anybody?
Tim, tell everyone your shitty bust.
Wow, okay. All right, Tom, appreciate that. I will say I'll give you a running back as well. My bust of a running back, I am going to go with one LeGarrette Blount. Obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles now. Listen, he's shown the ability to have success. He had a success early in his career in Tampa Bay, played well for New England, left, kind of fell off the face of the earth a little bit, came back, blew up last year. What, do you have 20 touchdowns last year? Right around there. I just don't feel like he's going to be able to – he's going to have trouble getting to half that. The Eagles are going to utilize him. They're going to do their best to run him into the ground to protect you know, their young quarterback. But at the end of the day, I feel like this is going to be a one-and-done situation for LeGarrette Blount in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a snowball's chance in hell that LeGarrette Blount puts up the type of numbers that he did last year. He's going off the board as the 31st running back. So you saying he's going to bust, where do you have him going? Like is he going to finish as the 40th running back?
No, I'd say he's going to float right around that 50 mark.
50.
That's what I have with what they're establishing there. Listen, they're trying to build their game around the quarterback.
Yeah.
They're trying to build everything. They brought in all those weapons for the quarterback, and they brought in LeGarrette Blount as the safety blanket. Someone that can take the punishment, take the ball, slow the game down for the young quarterback, and just have that threat there. LeGarrette Blount is a great player. I just don't see him fitting into that system.
Where is he getting drafted at?
31st. I don't know. For me, saying he's going to finish somewhere around 50 is a little crazy. Ryan Matthews in that same system finished 30th last year. His numbers, he only had 661 rushing yards, 8 rushing touchdowns, 115 receiving, and 1 receiving touchdown. So I think I think there's a chance he has more rushing yards than that 661 and finishes somewhere close to that 8 to 10 touchdown mark. But people that are expecting him to come out and produce like he did last year are definitely crazy. You should tamper your expectations. They are going to pass the football a lot in Philly. I think they were top 5 last year in passing attempts, so that is something to look into.
I guess my whole thought process here, Tom, I know you thought I was crazy again, surprise, surprise, but my whole thought process is, You know, when he's in New England with Tom Brady, the focus is always on Tom Brady. What's he going to do? It kind of gets people's minds scrambling, right? In Philadelphia, I feel like the main focus is going to be LeGarrette Blount. They obviously have a lot of weapons at wide receiver as well, but the main focus is going to be LeGarrette Blount, and he hasn't been able to prove himself away from Tom Brady. So that's where I think, you know, it might be one of those situations where a running back, you know, you see it every year after year, a player who is a, you know, a top 10 guy or has a great season falls off the face of the earth. This is my fear for this guy.
All right. Tom.
Yep. I have another running back. This running back is being drafted in the second round on average at pick 16. It's Tim's homeboy running back Jordan Howard from the Chicago Bears. This whole situation kind of reminds me of Todd Gurley's situation last year. Look, Chicago, they do have an underrated offensive line. Cody Whitehair, Josh Sitton, Kyle Long, they're all studs on the interior part of that offensive line. It's not hard to like that situation, to like three Pro Bowl caliber O-linemen. But that quarterback situation, it's going to be a mess. I think the Bears' whole team is going to be a mess. The wide receivers aren't very good. Teams are going to key in on that run game. And you drafting him in the second round, it's a little worrisome for me personally. I'm not too fond on taking Jordan Howard this year.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you on that. I like you said, that interior offensive line is very, very good. And if they really short it up with some tackles on the outside, and they did bring in Deion Sims, they got a couple other tight ends in there that can block. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. But new quarterback, new wide receivers, new little bit of everything, and I just think it's going to be too much of a headache and too much of a hassle to want to own one Jordan Howard when he is being picked at, what, pick 17, like you said?
16,
like you said. And eighth running back off the board. Me, personally, I'd rather have Jay Ajayi over him. As much as I hate Lamar Miller, I may want to slide Lamar Miller ahead of him. The rookie Leonard Fournette, I would consider him. But Jordan Howard, it's just not a running back I would actually want this year. So, no, it's all good. We'll go ahead and go on to the next one. I am going to go with a running back as well. And I mentioned this pre-show, and Marshawn Lynch. He's coming back from retirement. And me personally, I think that you have Carr, you have Crabtree, you have Cooper, you have the possibility of an addition of Megatron. Who knows if that's going to happen? It's highly unlikely. But if it does happen, I think it would just hamper Marshawn Lynch even more. They had the two rookies that they had last year. They drafted another one this year. There's just a lot of mouths to feed on that offensive side of the ball. And if any of the running backs that they drafted last year and this one this year actually does anything, it'll be very intriguing to see how that ball gets handed out to those running backs. Plus, he's coming off retirement. Like I said, I know he's 1 year younger than Adrian Peterson, and he's had 1 year off. I just think he's done.
The last time we saw Marshawn Lynch in 2015, it was pretty ugly. He was banged up quite a bit. He only averaged 3.8 yards per carry. Did not look like that same Marshawn Lynch. All the training, we're seeing him run in sand, do wind sprints, all this crap. It looks nice. He's got a great offensive line. But you don't know how his body is going to hold up to that physical beating of being an NFL running back. One of the most physical positions in the whole sport in general. He's going off the board 10th running back right now in the second round.
That's crazy.
Right at the end of the second round. I've seen him go in the middle of the second round. It's a little too rich for my blood, in all honesty. I like him as a player. Like, think of that New Orleans run. You think of the run against Arizona. He's won me championships in the past, so I do like the player, but that age, it is worrisome. And I brought up Shady's age, 29. This dude's 2 years older. Runs a more physical style of football, so it is worrisome, and I don't think you should be drafting him in the second round.
Yeah, and it's weird too, because those touchdowns that layabouts Murray did get last year have to go to somebody.
Yeah,
and that is like the only thing that's making me think that maybe Marshawn Lynch can do something this year, but I think Carr will spread it around to his other offensive weapons. And I'm sorry, those running backs were Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington, Alawale, and Elijah Hood, who they drafted this year.
I honestly and truly believe that Marshawn Lynch was brought in to do one thing and one thing only, and that is create the play-action pass for Derek Carr. It's going to open up huge, huge opportunities for them in the passing game, especially if they get Kelvin Johnson, which we talked about earlier this week. What it's going to do for Derek Carr is, listen, Marshawn Lynch doesn't really have to do much. What does he have to do? Get 10 to 15 carries a game to basically fill that layabouts Murray role? He can do that. He can do that. The year off, I think, if anything, helped his body. We don't know what exactly we're getting with him. As much as I feel like he's going to help this Oakland Raiders offense, I agree with both of you completely with how high he's getting drafted is pretty outrageous. I still see him getting around, you know, 8 or 9 touchdowns, you know, just because he's going to be that red zone guy. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I would not be investing that high on one Marshawn Lynch either.
All right. Anybody else? Any other busts? So far we've had 2 each, right?
Yep. Well, Tim's had like 8.
No, what? I've had 2. Go ahead, Josh.
I'm going to do one more. Did you want to bring up a wide receiver or no?
Yeah, I could bring up. I got another guy.
All right, I'll pass it. Well, you want to do it? I don't want to. Who's your guy?
I got Mr. Brandon Cooks.
All right, go ahead.
He's being drafted in the 3rd round at pick 29. Cooks, he's kind of been spoiled as of late playing in New Orleans, playing in a dome in an environment that's always friendly, especially for a player that plays with that much speed. He's going to New England. It's out the East Coast, especially in October, November, December. It's not the greatest field conditions. I think that's going to be a big hamper on him. He's never played a football game where it's been under 55 degrees. It's kind of crazy. He's going to see a bunch of that this year, especially in the fantasy playoffs when you need him the most. I feel like a lot of people right now are thinking back to that Randy Moss situation when they brought him in and he just lit the world on fire. That's not how this offense is right now in my eyes. It's hard to gauge how that New England offense is going to play out, but I don't think Brandon Cooks is going to be force-fed targets. I don't think he's going to be the lead dog per se. I think it's going to be Gronk will be the number one if he's healthy. He'll get the majority of the goal line work, and Edelman will get his own. They brought in a ton of running backs. Cooks, I think he's being overdrafted. For me, he's closer to that 18th or 19th wide receiver rank. He's kind of going to be that hit or miss play in my eyes, and I don't think that he should be drafted as a number one wide receiver, as a lot of people are hoping that he will be in New England.
Let me ask you this. He's getting picked around pick 30, wide receiver 13 off the board. Where would you feel comfortable taking Brandon Cooks? And what wide receiver on your team, a 1-2, a 3, or a flex?
I'd rather have him, if I go running back heavy early as my wide receiver 2, I probably wouldn't take him till the 5th round, in all honesty. I just think he's going to be too boom or bust. For me, he just screams like that DeSean Jackson type role. I think he's going to be super hit or miss this year. You're going to be pulling your hair out just owning this guy. You're going to want to start him every week because that offense he's in, but he's going to have a bunch of games where I think he's going to be under 10 points a game.
Tom, I think you made a great comparison there with the DeSean Jackson comparison. I was going to say a comparison to a better version of Kevin Hogan, but a better version of DeSean Jackson would probably make it a little bit better justice, I guess. But I could see this. Like, you look at DeSean Jackson's games, he had, 5 games over 100 yards receiving, right? He finished wide receiver 38. Like, that's not ideal on where you want those wide receivers, but that is what I think Brandon Cooks could finish at. Me personally, I'd be okay with him as my wide receiver 3. I know some people are going to probably roast me over it, but you look at that that offense on the Patriots. They just paid Julian Edelman some more money, another 3-year deal, I believe is what it was. They have Gronkowski. They have other offensive weapons. They have a bunch of running backs that can also catch the ball out of the backfield. Gillislee, who can run the ball and catch the ball out of the backfield. They have Chris Hogan. They got Malcolm Mitchell. They have Danny Amendola still. They have a lot of freaking weapons, and it is just too much to spread the ball around. And I know I'm going to catch shit for this about saying a wide receiver 3, but that is where I would feel comfortable with. him as my wide receiver too, I wouldn't like it, just because I could take somebody like Davante Adams and whoever, Julian Edelman. I'd feel comfortable with that. Jarvis Landry and Larry Fitzgerald, I'd feel more comfortable with that. So that's where I'm at.
You know, I guess it all depends on the situation. It all depends on where you are or where you are drafting. For instance, if I'm one of the first three picks and I'm getting a, you know, David Johnson, a Zeke, something like that, number one, and then, you know, obviously it's normal standard snake draft, I'm able to get like an Isaiah Crowell or something like that. If I go running back heavy to start and I have two running backs that I'm confident in, I may not feel too terrible having a Brandon Cooks as my number one. Because Tom Brady has shown with star wide receivers, he can, you know, he can make sure that they still get their numbers. And I do believe that Brandon Cooks is talented enough. I mean, the other options, if I've already taken two running backs and then I'm into that third round, I mean, at wide receiver, you're then looking at, you know, a potentially a Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin versus Brandon Cooks. I believe we had that debate in our one of these episodes. Was that our last episode? Didn't you bring that up, Tom?
No.
No? Okay. Well, we should have, because that's a great debate of, you know, who would you take? Because that's a tough one for me. Top of my head, I'd want to say Brandon Cooks. But after what we broke down in the last episode, you know, I would go, you know, maybe go Doug Baldwin. And the other guys there, and Alshon Jeffrey. If you're going to running backs, you only have so many options for a number one wide receiver. So Brandon Cooks may not be a bad choice there. Would I feel confident? Absolutely not. But that's why they call it fantasy football, I guess.
Would you rather have Brandon Cooks or would you rather have Julian Edelman if you had to pick one New England wide receiver?
That's tough.
It's a very tough question.
Because Edelman's just that more consistent piece who I think is going to approach the 100 receptions barrier. If it's PPR, I'd rather wait the couple rounds and get Julian Edelman. But if it's standard, I might have to go with Cooks.
I would go Brandon Cooks.
For me, I don't feel comfortable drafting or taking him in the third round.
Nor do I. It all depends on the situation. Listen, if it's me, I'm not going to put myself in that situation where I'm relying on Brandon Cooks to be my number one overall wide receiver. But with that being said, which there's a ton of, I would bet that over half of the people listening to this show right now are secure the running back, secure the running back, secure the running back. This is the scenario exactly that they're going to be facing on draft day. Doug Baldwin, Brandon Cooks, DeAndre Hopkins, hell, Alshon Jeffrey, Terrell Pryor. Those are what's left, more than likely, when you get back to your, you know, wraparound third-round pick. So, and you better make the right choice there, because you're not drafting for a while, and you're going to have to fill the two and three spots. So it's a big decision.
All right, my last guy that I'm going to go with is a wide receiver as well. I had Brandon Cooks because I don't believe in Brandon Cooks one bit. But I'm going to go with a wide receiver. Just switched to a new team. He is a senior, not a junior. And you didn't like that?
You're an idiot.
Come on. Terrell Pryor, senior, going to the Washington Redskins from the Cleveland Browns. And again, you guys may think I'm crazy about thinking of this, but I think the new change of scenery is good for him, but I think it's bad for his fantasy outlooks. You look at what he did when he was on the Cleveland Browns. He was force-fed the ball. He was pretty much the only guy. Corey Coleman went down with an injury, and Corey Coleman was supposed to be the guy. Terrell Pryor was there. They force-fed him the ball over and over again, played quarterback a couple games when they needed him to, and he's a decent red zone threat. He can jump in the air and catch the ball when he needs to. But with all the talk of Jamison Crowder, Josh Doctson, they drafted him for a reason last year. I just feel like him going off the board as the 23rd wide receiver, which is, again, a wide receiver two in all senses, I'd be comfortable with him as my wide receiver three or a flex. I'm not feeling comfortable with him as a wide receiver too. Looking at some of the other names on the board, give me Martavis Bryant over him. Give me Tyreek Hill over him. Give me Larry Fitzgerald. Davante Adams is getting drafted after him, for God's sake. So that's where I am at with it. And it may not be a bust per se. I think you'll have just a more of a down year compared to what a lot of people think.
Josh, this is probably one of my favorite decisions you've ever made outside of bringing me back to the show. This makes a lot of sense. Everything about it. I couldn't agree more. Situations and circumstances built Terrell Pryor Sr. And I do believe that he's still going to get some looks. He's still going to make some big plays. But with what all the weapons that they have now on Washington, he's going to be a he's going to just be one of the guys. He's not going to be big fish in a little pond anymore.
Let me say this, though. If Jordan Reed does go down, if he does, then Terrell Pryor will be the main benefactor of that, I think. But if Jordan Reed is healthy all year long, then Terrell Pryor is going to be a bust this year.
I disagree with both of you, in all honesty.
Well, fuck you, Tom.
Pryor, he was force-fed the football last year. Finished as wide receiver 20. The one thing that sticks out for me for him, though, he's getting a much-improved quarterback. Kirk Cousins is a lot better than one of the six or seven that started for him last year. He only had 4 touchdowns last year. I think there's a realistic possibility he could double that mark. And if he comes close to that 1,000 yards, he's going to be moving up in his rankings. And I don't think there's any way that he goes below that 4 touchdown mark. Redskins lost a lot of targets last year. DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. But you did bring up the Jordan Reed being healthy. When he is healthy, that offense revolves around him. It runs through him. I still think Pryor, I feel comfortable with him as my wide receiver number 2.
Wow. I think he will finish outside the it's tough because I want to say he's going to finish outside the top 30, but that's not really a bust per se because he's still inside the top 3 wide receivers. So he will finish outside as a wide receiver 3. That's where I'm going to put it at.
Cause you can look at it, the Redskins passed the football a lot. They had tons of yards last year, and their number 1 receiver last year was Pierre Garçon, finished 24th overall in PPR. Had just over 1,000 yards, only 3 touchdowns, so pretty similar numbers to Pryor. They're pretty close overall in those fantasy points. But the upside with Pryor, in my eyes, he's 27. He's still raw, but he's in his like prime age for a wide receiver. He's only got a couple years left of being that elite option. I think he can become that elite option in Washington.
I'm shocked Washington didn't go out and get another wide receiver at all, because the rolling with Crowder and Pryor, and then a Doxson who we don't know what he is yet.
They got faith in him, though. They invested a first-round pick in him.
They had other holes to fill, and I think it's just another example of them looking for an excuse to not pay Kirk Cousins. They're giving him another reason to fail that they can put on him being his fault.
All right. Anybody else another one?
I do. I have one final one that I'm going to give you. And
oh, God.
It's a defense.
No, it's not a defense.
It's a kicker.
Nope, it's a wide receiver as well. Some of the guys I thought of, even more so now, I potentially had a Michael Crabtree I wanted to talk about. I wanted to give you guys an obvious one that you would have loved to laugh at me about, one Rishard Matthews. But it's not going to be either of those guys. It's going to be one A.J. Green. A.J. Green, obviously highly touted, been consistently a top 3 to 5 wide receiver for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. This is the year that everything catches up to him, I believe. The quarterback that a struggling quarterback that has now lost numerous pieces on the offensive line in front of him. Injury-prone wide receiver that can't stay healthy. All that, potentially, in my eyes, is going to come to a forefront as well. He's getting a little bit older, and I feel like now's the time that I just think the Cincinnati Bengals as a whole, going back to our AFC East breakdown, I am very, very down on the team as a whole, and I feel like it's going to start with A.J. Green. As disappointed as people were with the DeAndre Hopkins last year, A.J. Green's going to be the DeAndre Hopkins of the 2017 fantasy season.
Where do you have him finishing this year?
To be honest, I don't have I don't want to make an extreme pick and say he's going to be, you know, close to the top 40. I guess, you know, inside the top 40. But what I will say is, it's just not going to be, you know, he's not going to be a top 10 wide receiver this year. He's going to be more along the lines of a wide receiver 2 to wide receiver 3.
Outside, so kind of like where he ended up last year.
But outside of where people are drafting him and what people see AJ Green as a wide receiver one, I mean, in most leagues, he's, you know, around the end of the first to early second round. He's going to be, you know, realistically should probably be drafted into the third or fourth round. He should be drafted where DeAndre Hopkins is being drafted this year. That's why I'm saying he's going to be a bust this year. Last year, that was due to injury as well. You know, he had some injuries last year. It's going to be a more substantial impact this year.
Yeah, I could see AJ Green's numbers going down. Look, they've added weapons, the John Ross edition. Hopefully Tyler Eifert could stay healthy. They added a very physical, very talented running back in Mr. Joe Mixon. Hopefully Gio can come back healthy. And that offensive line is, it doesn't look the same as the past few years. They've lost a lot of talent across that offensive line. But yeah, people drafting AJ Green, they're drafting him as the fifth wide receiver right now on ESPN in the first round at pick 10. That's a little too rich for my blood. He is getting up there in age, and he is starting to miss a bunch of games. It's three straight years with him missing games. Something bad could happen this year. I am staying away from him. When he did play though last year, he was a stud, straight up stud. But you never know what can happen when these guys start hitting that 30, that age of 30.
Yeah, I've been in a couple mock drafts recently, and the wide receivers have gone Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and then it gets to that tricky situation of you have A.J. Green, Jordy Nelson, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Thomas, and Dez Bryant. I'll just leave it at those guys. And I've seen where people pass on A.J. Green and go with a Jordy Nelson or a T.Y. Hilton. Would you guys agree with that? Would you guys do the same thing?
I would.
Yeah, let's leave Tom out of this because we already know where he's going. And I believe you guys have seen, we always were a bunch of nerds, and when we do mock drafts throughout the day or whatever, we text each other results and say, this is what I did here, just to kind of gauge how gay we are with one another. But I've actually taken Eugene in numerous situations. He is, as much as I like to make fun of him, I like him a little bit. Let me ask you guys, if you're up and you're at that mid to late first round, and you have the opportunity to take a on the board still best wide receiver available, AJ Green, best running back available, LeSean McCoy. What do you guys do?
I'd take someone else.
me personally, I'd be going LeSean McCoy. I'm not in complete agreement with you and Tom with the LeSean McCoy assessment. I still like LeSean McCoy for this year. And I think with Gillislee out of the picture, I think he's still sitting pretty good. But that's just my thoughts. But I like to lean a little bit more towards the running back side with my first pick. Although I have done a couple of mock drafts now where I've gone wide receiver heavy and then no running back until later on. And I kind of like it. Having three stud wide receivers is really nice. But at the same time, I really feel like I need that running back to be thrown in with my team.
Tom, gun to your head, AJ Green or LeSean McCoy?
PPR?
Sure.
LeSean McCoy.
All right. That is
Let me ask you this. AJ Green's on the board. Jordy Nelson, you take Jordy Nelson, right?
100%.
T.Y. Hilton, you take Hilton, right?
Hilton.
Yeah, I'll take Eugene.
Dez Bryant on the board.
I take Dez.
Probably AJ.
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, Michael Thomas.
Amari Cooper.
Amari.
Not taking Amari in the first.
Yeah.
If it was like middle second, I'd probably take Amari.
Well, but that just goes back to trust the way that you rank players, yeah, and not the way that ESPN or CBS, yeah, or whoever is going to rank your players, okay?
Because me personally, the way that I would rank it would go after the top four. I would put Jordy Nelson there, Michael Thomas, T.Y. Hilton, Dez Bryant, then Amari Cooper. If all those guys were taken above it, I would take A.J. Green above Amari Cooper. That's just the way I have it.
I have it that way as well. So I'm not taking A.J. Green in the first round. Tell you that right now.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just tough with missing all those games, you know? It's tough to have faith in somebody like that. Like a goddamn Keenan Allen year after year, you know? Same freaking idea.
Yeah, and you keep keeping them, dumbass.
I know. I can't help it. It's a sickness. Anything else, guys?
If we want to mention a tight end, I'll just say Greg Olsen's going to be a bust this year. I've talked about it at length. Anytime we've brought stuff up, he's going to be drafted as a top three tight end. He's consistent. He's one of my favorite players. I hate to bring this up, but with his age, and I don't care what you guys say, anyone who has family, it doesn't matter what part of your family, his brother has some very serious accusations and some very serious stuff going on. You cannot tell me that that does not weigh on you. Even if it's any part of your family, this is his brother. It's a big deal with his age, with all of those things combined. He will be my bounce back player of the year prediction for next year, but this year he scares me.
I would stay away from Delanie Walker. That's just, it's not worth it in my opinion. I'd rather have guys like Jimmy Graham a round or two later, Kyle Rudolph a round or two later, Zach Ertz four rounds later, or even Hunter Henry, which is in the same realm as Zach Ertz. So that's where I would tend with that. Tom, anything else? Last words.
I'm sorry for everyone that had to listen to Tim's bus.
What?
They weren't very good.
They were great.
Well, that's all we have. Hope you guys enjoyed our 2017 Bust of the Year Fantasy Football. Again, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. You guys can hit us up on our website, ponykegsports.com. Listen to the podcast, their articles, all that good stuff. Got a bunch of fantasy articles out there. And then email us, ponykicksports@gmail.com. Also, you guys can check out our buddies on their site, cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. They do a bunch of articles as well. Fantasy football, football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, all that good stuff. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know that we're the ones that sent you.
And make sure to check out their speed crocheting trials that they have going on here coming up next weekend.
The what?
Speed crocheting trials. It's like sewing, but crocheting. You know what crocheting is? It's who can do it the fastest. So they give everyone pictures, and then they have ladies between 60 and 75 years old, and they have to see who can do it fastest.
Do they have a video of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all videotaped. Interesting. Yeah, it's very great. They have the grandkids in the stands and stuff, and they have divisions for like this. It's like super sick old people who are probably like on their way out. They don't want to get them too excited, so it's a much quieter arena.
All right. That's all we have for you guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.